Well, we're looking at the story of Christmas and building up to Christmas through the Gospel of Luke. Luke had the best access to the best information, which is why we get more in the Gospel of Luke than the other Gospels. And I wonder if you ever asked yourself, what is the point of Christmas? I mean, you know, obviously to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but why do we celebrate it year after year? And the reason is not just because it's a nice story, although it's a great story, obviously, but because these events have something for us now. There's a message for each one of us now. The point is that these stories hold examples for us in these accounts of Jesus' birth. There's some things we can apply now, learn from now. They need to be real now, so this isn't just a historical exercise. So if you want to sum up today's talk, it's this. God's heart for us in this story is, first of all, that he wants us to know that he keeps his promises. He's proved it time and time again. And we'll be hearing that in a really great story a little bit later. But second, he says, look, don't surprise when I ask you to be part of the fulfillment of my promises. We're not meant to just sit there and blindly watch history unfold around us. We're intimately involved in this. Jesus was intimately involved in this. He actually became a human being. And he intends us to be part of his salvation plan for the world. Well, it's not as though we're giving up our life to die for others, although we might be called upon to do that. But he has plans for this world, and he expects us and wants us to be part of those plans. And the three things we're going to unpack in a moment, and that's this. Faith, discomfort, and risk. Mary showed faith, discomfort, and risk. What does that mean? Well, first of all, the Lord is looking for faith from us, just like we saw faith in Mary. Secondly, getting involved in his plans for the world might require a bit of discomfort, a bit of accommodation in our lives. We might need to do some adjustment. There might be a price to be paid. And thirdly, that this might well require us to put our necks on the block. There's a risk involved. Because even though we're serving an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing God who made the whole universe, actually serving him can sometimes be a bit scary. Have you ever come across that? And as you see, when the angel turns up at the door, Mary shows faith, a willingness to be discomforted, to move out of her comfort zone, and a willingness to take a risk. Let's go back to Mary. First thing to understand about the story we had read to us a little while ago is this. In Luke 1, we know the story. We know the background. In Luke chapter 1, we just heard the story about John the Baptist being announced by the angel to his elderly parents. Okay, and the likelihood is that Mary knew nothing about this. Now, of course, I know that today what would happen is it'd be all over Facebook, all right? Now, I don't do Facebook, but members of my family do Facebook, and I was speaking to somebody last night. Apparently, this lady looks at Facebook three times a day. Come on, who's got a Facebook account? Hands up. Cool, all these four. Okay, who looks at their Facebook account at least once a day? Keep your hands up if it's twice a day. I'm not going to embarrass you anymore. Okay, fine. All right. The details of everybody's life is in Facebook. You know, things like, I'm just eating a mince pie, or I'm doing up my shoelace, you know, all this kind of stuff. But in first century Israel, it wasn't Facebook. So the likelihood is Mary knew nothing about this. The first thing she knew was when the angel Gabriel turned up and told her about this. And it was a massive surprise when he turned up. But even more of a surprise was what he had to announce. Now, in the history of Israel, if you read the Old Testament, there are quite a few examples of God being involved in the birth of a child, but there are no examples of a child being born without the intervention of a human father. But what the angel Gabriel says here in this story is, he says to Mary, you're going to become pregnant, not because of sexual intercourse, but because the Holy Spirit has come upon you and made you pregnant, which for Mary is suicidal, really, in every sense of the word. It's a nightmare. And it's a nightmare because socially it's a nightmare, because having a child born out of wedlock in that society meant to be totally ostracized. I don't know if a lot of your memories will go back sufficient time, back to the 50s or 60s, where if you had a child without being married, you were right on the edge of society. I mean, I remember when I was growing up in the 60s, the lady next door had a daughter who's had a child out of wedlock, and everybody talked about it. This was in the 1960s, okay? And now, if you imagine what that was like, and you multiply it by about 10, that's what it was like in first century Israel. nobody talked to you. And in a society where everyone helped each other and times could be tough, it's seriously bad news if you haven't got the help of your friends and neighbors. But not only could it be social death, if you like, it could be physical death. Because in that society, the Old Testament law dealt with adulterers harshly. The penalty was stoning. It's like Sharia law in Saudi Arabia today. Now, actually, that didn't happen very often, but it was always possible for a lynch mob to kill a woman in that way. So she's going to be ostracized by society. She could be stoned to death. How is she going to explain this one to Joseph? It's not a very convincing story. Yeah, I got pregnant, but actually, an angel turned up and said, it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's, you know, that lacks a ring of truth, doesn't it? And actually, if you read Matthew's Gospel, it says that that Joseph, when he first heard this story, he was inclined to break up the relationship. He's going to break up the marriage, or the engagement, rather. So what happened was that an angel appeared to him, and he decided to go through with it. But this news was the stuff of every teenage girl's nightmares in first century Israel, which makes Mary's reaction even more amazing. Now, first of all, she's scared. And I think that's pretty fair, because I think I might be scared seeing an angel. Most people think that angels are kind of fluffy, tinsely things that you hang on a Christmas tree. In the Bible, angels are not like that, all right? They're tall and glowing and awesome and seriously scary. They're messengers of the God of the universe. So you don't hang them on a Christmas tree, you fall at their feet. And but Luke actually says she was troubled at his saying. Well, what has he just said? He just said, blessed are you among women. Blessed are you. God is going to bless you. You know, Mary's such a modest person that she says, I can't be blessed. Who's going to bless me? You know? But then Gabriel comes up with this extraordinary news. And I think her reaction to that is even more extraordinary. First of all, faith. Faith. Let me show you a picture. I've shown you that picture before, actually, a couple of years ago. That's faith, isn't it? This is a man called Philip Petit. And he 40 years ago, he walked on a tightrope walk across the Twin Towers in America, the ones that were blown up in September the 11th. He fixed up a tightrope and he walked across. And when he came down, he was arrested, but the police officers asked for his autograph because he was such a hero, okay? 100 stories up. Now that takes faith. That takes faith. But Mary needed just that kind of... Look, there he is again. Extraordinary, isn't it? Extraordinary. Mary needed just that kind of faith. Because Gabriel says this, look, you found favor with God. So just to prove it, he's going to get you pregnant. Joseph will go ballistic. Nobody will ever speak to you again, and you could end up being stoned to death. And for her to respond to that kind of news in the way she did is remarkable. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. That's an extraordinary reaction. And I believe the Lord is saying to us, that's the kind of faith I'm looking for in you. You know, we never signed up for a walk in the park. We never signed up for a walk in the park. Christian life is often a walk through a minefield. Lots of you know Lindy Cameron, used to be the youth minister here. At the moment, this very moment, she's out in Kenya on a Soma mission. Sharing ministry is abroad. She's on a Soma mission. And all sorts of enemy attack. Please pray for her. Pray for her. She and her team really need some prayer. There's opposition to what she's doing. And what God says is this. He leads us into difficult and dangerous enemy territory very often. The only way through that territory, through that minefield, is to trust him. That's what faith is all about. And you know, also, the Lord is expecting us to put up with a bit of discomfort. Okay, maybe not that kind of discomfort. But, you know, as we said before, the Christian life is all about getting out of our comfort zone. Mary had life completely planned out. She was a young woman. She was marrying Joseph. He's a prosperous builder. The word, the Greek word that we translate always as carpenter actually means builder. He probably had a building business of his own. He had people working under him. She was going to move to a nice house in a lovely neighborhood, security for life. Who would swap the comfort of that kind of existence for the precarious existence of an unmarried mother on the margins of society? Well, actually, Mary would. And us? Well, I believe that the Lord is calling all of us to be a lot less comfortable than we are. Otherwise, we could end up like Gordon in the sketch. When Margaret comes in, really needy person, wanders in, what does Gordon do? He's patronized, he doesn't listen, he reads the paper, he doesn't take any notice of her at all, there's no empathy, he makes completely crass remarks. He's in his comfortable world, he doesn't even want to kind of metaphorically cross the room. We talked about walking across the room last year, he doesn't want to cross the room to her at all, you know? What about us? If somebody on the edge wanders into our lives or into our church, you know, I've said before, the Lord is going to move in Swanage. It's already happening. It's already happening. People are being healed. We're going to hear about that in a minute. People are becoming Christians. Six people have become Christians linked to this church in the last 5 or 6 weeks. God is on the move here in a remarkable way. But the interesting thing is when God brings people to us, they're not all going to live neat, conventional lives. There can be a lot of Margarets walking through the door. That's why they come to God in the first place. Okay? You know, not many people turn up at a hospital who are really, really well and say, please treat me. You know? God is the answer when we're well, but also when things are not going right, you know? When things are not going right. And we need to be prepared to step towards them and welcome them. To be a bit more like Jennifer than Gordon. And I'd be lying to you if I said it wouldn't cost, because it will cost. But the good news is that the Lord knows that many of God's people in Swanage are prepared to pay that cost. But like Mary said, like Mary was prepared for, the Lord is saying to us, to you and me, to do my will take some discomfort. But I really believe the people of God in Swanage, and especially the people in All Saints, are willing to do that, are willing to step out of our comfort zone. You know, I came home yesterday from the open air service with some really surprising news. My wife said to me, I've just booked us on a cruise. Not a big expensive round the world cruise, a little 4-day one, which we across to Hamburg, believe it or not, okay? So we're going cruising. We're going cruising with David and Pauline and with Giselle and David for four days after Christmas, okay? I've never cruised before, okay? Now, I'm expecting it to be 4 days of sort of putting my feet up, comfort, lots of eating, you know, bit of, you know, nice music and shows and stuff. I don't know. I've never been on a cruise. I'm told that's what it's like, all right? I'm not expecting people to start lobbing missiles at me. But actually, as I've said to you before, I think, a lot of us sign up for the gospel thinking we're going on a cruise liner, and they open the cabin door and discover they're on a battleship. We are in a battle, which is the third point, really. It's all about risk. Risk. Being prepared to take risk. I'm not talking about craziness here, by the way. That guy's got a rope around him, but there's still risk involved. I've done a bit of climbing. I don't know if anybody here has done climbing. I've done climbing. And even with a rope around you, it can get seriously scary. And you're halfway up a climb like that, and you think, what am I doing here? I must be mad. But actually, when you go through it, when you get to the top, you get this glorious feeling. You want to do it all over again. It's really weird, but that's what risk is about, because the Lord loves risk takers. He loves us to take risk for him. Mary said yes to God's plan as far as she knew it. She could have been rejected by her fiancé. And we know from Matthew's gospel that was Joseph's first reaction. She could have been rejected by the rest of the community, but nevertheless, despite the massive risk, she said, yes, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. To go back to Lindy Cameron, 15 months ago, Lindy was out with another SOMA team in Peshawar in Pakistan, as I'm sure some of you know. She was out, Pakistan is a Muslim-majority country. And like nearly every Muslim-majority country, Christians are given a bad time. In Pakistan, they're given a seriously bad time. 2 weeks after Lindy and the team were ministering in the church in Peshawar, this is what happened. That is the church she was ministering in, blown up by a suicide bomb. In the very team where she was ministering. She's out in Kenya now, which also has problems with Islamic fundamentalists. So can you see, life in the kingdom means risk. It means risk. And that's hard for us, because we all intrinsically want to live comfortable lives. You know, we live here in lovely Swanage. People come here on their holidays. You know, they come to retire here, to move here. The only reason why you're here is because it's lovely. We didn't come here to live on the gritty front line. We came here to live in a beautiful place. You know, however lovely it is, however scenic it is, however beautiful this is still a gritty front line. You know? Just because it's lovely and genteel, I believe God is saying, I brought you here to take risks for me. And I truly believe that unless we're willing to take risks for God, as Mary did, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss out for ourselves being involved in God's purposes. Actually, you know, the purposes of God will not fail. They really will not fail. It's just that we'll be passed by. I don't want to be passed by the purposes of God. I really don't want to be passed by. And most of all, I don't want to miss out on the purposes of God because we have a God who keeps his promises. And Ted has a great story about that. So Ted, come and share us a story. Do you want to use the lectern?
Yeah. I don't think the loop is on this. Will you check, please? Yeah.
The mic's not on. Hold it.
Last February.
A bit closer.
I put my back out for gardening.
Hang on. Can you hear? Hang on. A bit closer. Are we on? So, okay. How's that?
Last February.
No.
Good. I put my back out while gardening. Now the test of this is whether people like Cliff can hear.
No, he can't. He can.
He can. Good. Splendid. This has been happening occasionally on and off for 40 years for one reason or another. Despite prayer and three different sources of physiotherapy in the months following, the pains got worse, and for some weeks from May to June, I could not walk more than 100 yards, sometimes less, without having to sit down. Eventually, tiring of the slow procedures of the NHS, I went private for an MRI scan. It showed in amazing detail how the nerves in my back were being squashed by a disc in my lower back, the nerves to a lower left leg. A guided injection in July helped a good deal, but in August I decided to ask for an operation so as to cure the problem fully. That was scheduled for late September. I began to count off the days. However, 10 days before the date, to my great disappointment, a blood test shows I was anemic, so the operation was postponed. While my medication was changed to sort that out. Meanwhile, I had a second guided injection. When my blood condition had improved, a new operation date was fixed, Thursday, 27th November. I began to count off the days again. At various times during the year, various people had prayed for me, with me. Others had kindly told me they were doing so too, for which I am most grateful. A week before the operation was due, following a good walk, I became aware that I was in less pain. So I stopped the painkillers for a day to see what happened. I hardly had any discomfort. On the Sunday, 3 days later, 2 weeks ago, I preached at the United Reformed Church as part of the pulpit swap. I stood for over 20 minutes to do so. As some of you know, I've been sitting to preach here ever since March, because standing for more than a minute or two was painful. My wife said I should write to the surgeon to tell him that the pain had greatly reduced, though I myself hoped that the op would still go ahead to sort out the problem permanently. He saw my letter on the Wednesday, the day before the operation was due, phoned me to explain that as I was so improved, the risks involved in a difficult operation were not worth taking. He was cancelling the op. I had already reduced my intake of painkillers, and I stopped them altogether about 10 days ago. Now I have little discomfort, just a warning now and then not to take risks standing too long, or lifting with my left hand. My wife is pleased I'm back doing the washing up. But I have made my retirement permanent from one thing. After over 48 years of moving church tables and chairs, I'll be continuing to leave that to others. Thank you. Living with pain for 9 months has been a learning experience and an insight into what some have to bear for longer. And I thank the Lord for his grace to bear it. But now I praise him that it is almost gone, but he has healed me. And I thank very much all those of you who've kindly been praying for me. Thank you, and praise the Lord.
Fantastic. 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 Now I need to put my cards on the table, which is to say that I was praying for Ted. But I was praying, as a number of us were, that he wouldn't need an operation. But I didn't believe it would happen. All right? Faithless, call it faithless, but I thought, you know, is God going to do it? Well, he flipping did it, which is amazing, amazing. And we had a remarkable time praying, actually, for Jill Timmings last Thursday? And we ended up praying for lots of people to be given the gift of healing, which is, and I believe this is just the beginning, the first fruits of what God's going to do. So look, what an encouragement. God does keep his promises. God does keep his promises. And he wants to use us in his purposes in this town and in this world. But we're going to need faith. We're going to need faith. We're going to need to be prepared to be a bit discomforted. We've got to accommodate our lives to his purposes, and we've got to take risks. That's all we've got to do. It's good enough for Mary. It's good enough for us. Let's pray, and then we'll share communion.